Okay, so we talked a little bit about the business there, so now let's move on to some equitation and riding stuff. I'd like to know, and I've asked everybody the same question, so I'm going to ask you too, why is good equitation or riding well so important? And try to keep it under an hour, Randy. I know this is something we could just go on and on and on and on and on and on about, but give us your Reader's Digest version, if you will, why good equitation and riding.
It's all right. Those of us who teach riding, we can go on and on and on and on and on, because it affects even the way we sit in our chairs. Basically, equitation, if you look at the definition, is simply the same definition as dressage. It's the art and practice of horsemanship and horse riding. Basically, this means that as a rider becomes aware of how their riding position, as well as their influence and reactions, which we often call aids, affect a horse's balance and responses. Once the rider gets to a certain level and has control of their riding position and aids, their horse will become more comfortable to ride and easier to influence. This is when a horse and rider start becoming one as they think and move together.
Yeah, it's kind of like a circle, right?
Yes.
The rider has to be in balance with the horse, and then it's an endless circle, and the rider has to be the one that starts the circle, because the horse only knows how to be the horse, right?
That's right.
So that's what I think equitation is, the art and practice of your horsemanship. That's what you said.
Yeah.
And then once the rider gets to a certain level, they can control themselves, and then they can have more influence of their horse.
Exactly.
So I can just, when you said that, I pictured a circle. The rider, the horse, the rider, the horse, the rider, the horse, the rider, the horse. It's just kind of the circle of life. We can call it the circle of riding.
In fact, it's often called the circle of aids.
Circle of aids. Okay.
I know, that's kind of a weird one. I liked your analogies better, but it has been called the circle of aids.
Okay, so what's the biggest challenge you see people are struggling with their equitation?
Most people see only the problems that they're creating in what they conceive as their perfect riding position, instead of realizing that most of us have to work on our riding positions forever, and still do. As a rider grows in their ability to balance and influence the horse, a horse also continues to change. This means both the horse and the rider are always in a state of change. As riders, our goal should be to know that change is a good thing, and that good changes do take time. A balanced, active riding position that works takes time to create. At first, a rider will learn the mechanical aspects of what to do with their riding position. Then they'll be able to have more influence on their horse.
So that's like what you said before, you get the mechanics of it, and then you get to a certain stage, then you can influence the horse.
That's right.
So,
and of course,
most people think that, well, I should be sitting like this, and they're mechanically putting themselves in a position. And they don't realize that it's going to morph and change into time, particularly if you're a child and you're growing and changing all the time, right?
Yes.
So you're thinking that one of the biggest challenges people that you see is that people really have to understand that it takes a long time to look good on a horse.
It takes a long time, and the better you get at it, the better you'll feel about what you're doing. You know, and it's a process that we all go through. Some people think they're the only ones having problems getting their legs anchored in their irons or stirrups, right?
On that note, what are some tips you could give right now to help people listening to prevent or stop or correct their position?
Well, of course, the first thing I would advise anybody to do is, if at all possible, get yourself a safe, quiet horse to learn on.
We see it all the time. They want to get a young horse so they can grow together.
That's right.
That's not safe.
How many times did we... Well, that's when I got younger. I got a yearling because my parents had been told by their parents who had plow horses that you always get a young horse for a young rider. You know, I look back at it now and I'm like, they were doing the best they could, but talk about a dangerous situation. Of course, I couldn't have afforded a horse that had training, you know, and that's the reality that a lot of people have to deal with. But the fact is, if you have a horse that's more experienced, quiet, sensible, and sane, you'll be able to learn your riding positions and aids easier, but we don't all have that access. So your next question was, what are some tips I could give right now?
Yep.
Okay.
What are some tips right now? Okay. Well, one was get a good horse, safe horse.
That's right.
Not a green horse. But if you're starting out, if you're a new rider.
Yes. Well, any rider, it's nice to go back to riding a schoolmaster just to polish up on those things that you just can't polish on a horse that's green or has major problems.
Yeah.
Next, we want to be able to focus on one challenge at a time. You can't fix everything right away. And as we all know, if the Olympians are still taking lessons, it tells us that we never stop learning, so it's a good thing. So good things take time. If your hands are not staying where they need to be to keep your riding position balanced, then now would be the time to focus on what you can do to keep them to where they need to be. If your seat is bouncing in the saddle, maybe you need to take a lunge line, a lunge line lesson to find out how you can balance better in the saddle. If you feel like you are not making progress, it might be time to try a new trainer or a new technique.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It's a tough one, but we have experienced that ourselves.
So getting the right help when you need. Okay, so what you're saying is to focus on one specific thing at a time. Don't try to fix everything at once. Just have a plan and go through and do your corrections.
Yes.
Rather than trying to fix your hands, fix your seat, fix your legs, fix your eyes, fix your horse, fix your riding, everything all at once. Concentrate on one specific thing. And if you're not getting the results that you want, maybe it's time to get somebody in who has a better eye or has some better tools in their toolbox to help you along.
That's right. And of course, to also be patient with your process, because it's an ongoing process. Like we've discussed, you'll be working on your position, your training techniques for as long as you're with horses.
Okay, Randy, do you have any final thoughts about some advice or anything for the people who are listening today?
Well, of course, my first word of advice would be to keep listening. Keep coming to this podcast and listen to what Laura has to share with you.
And aren't you sweet?
But it's true, because you're bringing on guests that are business professionals in the horse industry who we can all learn from. And it's important, that part I said about the networking and that type of thing, it's all important to what we're doing. And of course, I'd like to remind you and your audience at this time that you make a difference. The horse world is a better place because you are in it. There are people in your future who are waiting for you to come into their lives.
That is so true, and that's a really good place to end it, Randy. I really like that. Lots of positive information there, and we do make a difference, you know?
Yes.
And so I'd like to thank our guest today, Randy Thompson from horseandriderawareness.com and howtomarketyourhorsebusiness.com. Thanks very much. See you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye.